All right, everybody, we're going to get started. Please be quiet. If you want to talk, cool, do it outside. Be respectful of the speakers, please. Hello, everybody. Please be quiet, because Charlie's going to give us a rundown of what happens under the hood when you actually execute an SQL select statement. Take it away.
Thank you. Hey, everybody. Is this one better or the other one better? The other one? Okay. Okay, seems bad. Impossible, right? So then the database is going to gamble with your wish. The planner is going to do some bets. It's going to get some information. It's going to get some coins and going to bet with your wish. And then the executor at the end is going to pay for the bill. Will it pay a smaller or a larger bill? How does that work? This is what we kind of going to see today. So this is our example batch. We're going to run this select. And in this select, if you see, we have four tables, three joins, two filters, and one sort limit. It's not a very simplistic select, but it's not a very complex select either. So it's something that you can use to see how that's going to play together, right? So when you send this to the database, this was supposed to be an animation. See? Okay, let's run again. So when you send this to the database, it goes to the parser, then to the analyzer, rewriter, planner, executor, and then the result. So hold tight, because you're going to see which each of them going to do here. So everything starts from the parser. So the parser is the guy that's going to get your query and see if everything is in order. It doesn't care if the table exists or not. It doesn't care if the columns exist or not. But it cares if it has an order, just like when you speak in English. When you say, I would like to, you say, I would like to. You don't say, like would I to do something, right? So it has order. It needs to see if you write from, not for, or M-F-O-R. So that's what it's going to do. And then it's going to create a tree, just like the one that we see here. This is the parser tree. So this parser tree going to follow our query along on the way, because it's going to be reused later. This is the starting of the internal language of the database. We're going to use Postgres as an example here, but that happens in almost all the databases, at least the ones that I know. So after that, we need to do a semantics analysis. Okay, now we really care if the table exists or not. So we need to check if those tables exist. We need to check if the comparison that we're doing there, we're using the right operator for the correct times. Sometimes you want to do a select start where something was equals something else. But we're comparing different types. We're comparing an integer with a date or something else, that depending on your database and the syntaxes, it's not allowed. Then you need to do either change the types, or you need to do an in-place change for them. So this is what this guy going to do. So, and then it creates another tree. It used the tree that we sent before, a parser tree, and it's going to create a query tree. So this is the ones where you could rewrite some inserts inside of the views. So this is where all of those things are going to be to change it here. All right. Now we have most of the things that we need to execute, right? We have a plan now. So, but before we execute, we need to decide how we're going to execute. We know which are the tables we want to select. We know which are the roles we want to select. We kind of know because we have the where clause. And you know the max number of roles we want to get. Remember, we have a limit 100 here. So we want to cap our result when it gets to 100 roles. We don't want more. We may get less, but we don't want more of those ones. So this is the information that the database has. But now it needs to make a few of decisions. So the first decision that it needs to do here is how to scan then how to join, and the order, and if you do some parallelism. And to do those things, to make those decisions, this is where come the odds for our bet. The decisions are made based on cost. Remember, we want to pay the lesser bill, the lesser value, the lesser money to run our select. But how do we calculate that cost? How the database calculate that cost? So we have some unities that the database is going to use. And some of them are, how do we get the data? Do we get the data sequentially, or do we get the data in a random way inside of the disk? Why does it matter? Well, in old days when users used spinning disks, getting the data sequentially was a lot faster than randomly, because spinning the disk, the head of the disk from one place to another, took a lot of time. And if you install your PostgreSQL right now and you go for the configuration, you see this parameter here, random page cost equals 4. It's telling the database that if you need to take a random page, it's going to cost 4 times as taking one sequential page. Okay, but why does it matter? Well, it matters because your index is basically random access on the database. And your table, full table scan, is sequential access on the database. So if you have a table, and in that table you have an index, and if the number of rows compared that read from the index on the table is similar or 4 times lesser, the database is not going to use your index. It's going to do a full table scan. And that's why sometimes you feel, oh, I have this really nice index here in my table, and I'm doing a select, but it's not using my index. Oh, because it's expensive to the database. That's one of the reasons, but the only one. So we have all the parameters as well. So we have the CPU tuple cost. That is how much going to cost to the database to process each row that you're going to select statistics. So when you have outdated statistics, those numbers might be wrong. And then you might be having full table scans instead of index scans, not because it's cheaper, but because the planner thinks or believes it's cheaper based on the statistics it gets. Right? We need to be careful on that one. So this is, we have an example here of a planning. This is what you get when you do an explain on PostgreSQL. It's going to try to see, based on what you have, all the costs. What are the costs for my sequential scan, the index scan, and so on and so forth. So we have the information that we put here and how it used on the explain, right? And an example. And if you are familiar with PostgreSQL, we have, or other databases, they do the same as well, we have a few different types of explain. We have the explain and the explain analyze. The explain is what the planner believes it's going to do, and the analyze, it actually runs and shows what exactly it does. And this is the bill that you're going to pay, not the bill that we believe we're going to pay. So on this way, we have to look at a few different things. Okay. Sequential scan. Why or how we usually run sequential scans? So doesn't matter if you have a table that is too small, or if you're going to get a lot more data from the table compared to the total amount of the table, it's going to do a full table scan because it's cheaper. Remember, when we do a index scan, it needs to go to the index, which is a random search, get the information, then you still need to get the data from the table, unless we do what we call an index-only scan. If all the information you want is on the index, that's fine. It doesn't need to go to the table. For example, if you have an index that has the names, and I want only to get the name, so all that information